Today's share in the Deer Shoe Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Ayin Omud Aleph. We are on the sixth volume of Mishnah Berurah, and we're going to start two new simonim today, Taf Reish Beis and Taf Reish Gimel. We'll see how far we get in Taf Reish Gimel. Taf Reish Beis starts, which deals with the halachas of Tzom Gedalia and the Aseres Yemei Tshuva extra insertions and tfilos, starts with the Ramah instead of the Mechaber. The Ramah starts off and he says, Hagah, U'misanim L'mocharas Rosh Hashanah. He brings that from the Torah that we fast the day after Rosh Hashanah, which we of course know it's Tzom Gedalia, and he says, Hu Tanis Tzibur. This is a Tanis Tzibur. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sif Katan Aleph, V'kol Hilchosav Nisbar B'Simen Tov Kuf Nun. We've already learned this a while ago in Simen Tov Kuf Nun. Go look over there and in the Mishnah Berurah. Ayin Shom Mishnah Berurah. The issue footnote number one reminds us that Tzom Gedalia was set up because that's the day that Gedalia ben Achikam, who was the leader of the remnant of Klal Yisrael that was left behind, was killed. He was murdered by Yishmael. He was assassinated, and this basically caused many, many more thousands of Jewish people to be killed, and this essentially wiped out the last remnant of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael at that point in time. Now we begin the Mechaber, Sif Aleph. The Mechaber writes, V'chol yom shemein Rosh Hashanah yom kippurim, ma'abim betfilos v'sachlunim. During the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we add on many additional tfilos and supplications. The Mishnah Berurah explains the Sif Katan Beis, levad mishabbos, with the exception of Shabbos, that we don't do this. Now, Deir Shuf footnote number two says, besides the wonderful custom that the Matthew Ephraim had brought down, that you should say the entire Tehillim twice during the month of Elul, because 150 adds up to 300, which is Kaper. It's a beautiful minhag to say 10 Tehillim every day. He says during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, people should say 15 Tehillim each day to complete Tehillim another time during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Then he talks about that we add on Shir HaMaalos V'Machim Korsich Hashem during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, right after we finish Yishtabach, before we say the Kaddish and before we start Baruch Hu. He says this is a problem, isn't it a hefsek? So he brings down from the Aruch HaShulchan that saying it over here is not considered a hefsek because it's part of the tefillah, and therefore it's not a hefsek, as opposed to talking then would be a hefsek. Now we go to the Ramah. The Ramah says, Hagoh, v'yomrim avinu malkeinu erev avokeh. We say, both by Shachris and by Mincha time, morning and night, we say, avinu malkeinu. And Muvah b'Shabbos. It's accepted. We don't do this on Shabbos. Why not? The Mishnah Berurah explains Siv Katan Gimel because Afil b'Mincha shel Erev Shabbos Shuva. Even at Mincha and Erev Shabbos Shuva, Gamkin in Omrim Avinu Malkeinu because it's already part of the Kedusha of Shabbos, and therefore we don't say this on Shabbos. It's inappropriate to say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos. The issue footnote number three brings down the reasoning is Sheim Avakshim Al Tzrochu b'Shabbos. You don't ask for things on Shabbos, and Avinu Malkeinu is all asking for things on Shabbos. Now, how do you define what's asking for things? So that's normally something like, for example, for Refuah Shleima for somebody or for Parnasa for somebody, as opposed to if you're talking about your sins, so you're allowed to say that on Shabbos. Elokai, Achalun Otzarti, we say that Nusach, that it would be better if I wasn't created, or we say various Yiratzons on Shabbos, that is technically allowed. Those are really expressions of regret over your sins and not a lashon of vidui. Deir Shufu number four says, why don't we say Avinu Malkeinu by Mincha and Erev Shabbos? He brings us a machz as a shekel. It's just like we don't say Tachlin on Mincha Erev Shabbos. Already has certain kedusha of Shabbos at that point in time. And the Mishnah Berurah adds, She'ein la'armo gami mispali mincha gedolo miyad achachatzos. Even if you daven mincha gedolo, so very early, so you'd say maybe it's not really yet the kedusha of Shabbos. No, the kedusha of Shabbos comes in after chatzos on Friday afternoon. The Ramah continues and he says, "Vafilu im chol mila." If somebody has a bris mila, mazel tov, she'ein omrim tachanun. You normally don't say tachanun on the day of a bris mila. Nevertheless, afilu hachi omrim avinu malkeinu. He brings that from the Minhagim that we do say avinu malkeinu in this situation. Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan Dalet tells us, "Lo yiratzon," and we likewise don't say the yiratzons that we say after laning on the day of a bris mila. The issue footnote 5 brings down that the tachanun that we say in the slichos that you do say on a bris mila. If you're finishing it, certainly, according to everybody, if you're finishing before Olas HaShachar, then you definitely would go and say the Tachlun. If it's going to be after the Olas HaShachar, but before the sun rising, before the Zricha Sachama Nates, so then there's a Machlokas Ayin in Dirshu footnote number 5 for all of the different opinions. Lamaisa, I believe, developed Paskins like the more lenient opinions, or Mamachma, depending on which way you're looking at it, that you do say Tachlun for Slichos, that's considered part of the Slichos, and therefore, even though it's a bris mila, sure, you do say that tachlun at the slichos, but you don't say the regular tachlun in the davening on a day of a bris mila. But again, there are many opinions brought down. Each person should follow the minhag of their rav or the minhag of the shul that they're davening in. Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan Hey tells us that we do say avinu malkeinu, even though we don't say tachlun on a day of a bris mila. He says, likewise, v'keler chapayim and lamnatzeach, we also say those as well. It brings that from the Dogum Meravava. He then brings down that we change the order around a little bit in some of the slichos that we say. He says, "Bemila omrim b'yashmoris." We say early in the morning, "Ben kesel yasar," and "Zuchar bris." We say that achar v'aretz eskor. Then we go back to the Ramah. He says, we say three times the Oshamnu in the morning slichos during the Aseres Mechuva. Albeit, he brings down in the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot and Vav, v'chein yom rishon the slichos ad erev Rosh Hashanah. This is not only during the Aseres Mechuva, this is during even the period of time once we start saying slichos the week before Rosh Hashanah. Kein mashma b'minhagim. This is the opinion that's brought down in the Minhagim. However, in Dershah foot number 6, he brings down there are those that only say it one time. For example, this is brought down by the Gra in the Maisei Rav, and also the name of the Arizal. And it's also brought down that the Chofetz Chaim himself did not do so. He only said it one time, not three times. The one exception to the statement of the Ramah that you say the Vidui or Shamnu three times is only not on Erev Yom Kippur, Milvad, Erev Yom Kippur, which is the minhag that many Ashkenazic shuls, I think with the exception of the Yekesha communities, that they only say it one time. They have the short slichos. In the Yekesha communities, they have the long slichos like Erev Rosh Hashanah on Erev Yom Kippur as well. So there the minhag is in the Ashkenazic shuls, according to Ramah, Shein Omrim also Ela Pamachas. He brings out from the Rokeach that we only say Osham the one time. We have a shortened version, Erev Yom Kippur, for the slichos. Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Zayin, because we're going to say it by Mincha and by Ma'ariv as well. Therefore, we're saying it three times that day. And since it's a Yontif, if I understand this correctly, so therefore it's sufficient to say just one time in the morning, and you'll say it three times during the entire day. Then the Ramah continues and he says, Ve'einostim Cherem. We don't put people into Cherem during the Aseres Mechuva. Mishnah Berurah brings down Sivkot and Ches, Shelo La'orer Kochos Hadin Bizman Hu. We don't want to go and raise the prosecutions against the Jewish people during this period of time. Somebody's put into Cherem, that's not a good thing. Or to put general bans on the community, that's not a good thing. V'chein Ein Mashbin, we don't cause people to swear. Because Shehoshim Yosu L'Havi Oneh Shavua L'Olam, because we don't want to Chas V'Sholom bring somebody to swear falsely and bring that additional demerit against the Jewish people into the world. The Avshur, he says, possibly, if there's some pressing reason that a person has to put in some sort of a cherim on himself or on the community. Nevertheless, try not to do this until after Yom Kippur. He says, if it's really necessary, then you'd be allowed to do so. He brings us down the name of the Prima Godin. The issue, footnote number 7, adds to this, and he says, some have the custom for the entire Chodesh Tishrei not to put the Tzibur into any sort of a cherem. And he brings down the tam of this minug is because the entire month, Shemchol Chodesh Tishrei, Adayin Tluyim Onu Ktsas V'din. There's a little bit of a din still hanging over the Jewish people. And he adds on that before Yom Kippur, you certainly shouldn't do so. And after Yom Kippur, in the rest of the month of Tishrei, it'd be preferable not to. He says this really ideally also is only in shul that you don't do this. But if it's really a pressing need, you can do it outside the shul. And therefore, he says the same thing by shul. If it's a really pressing need, you don't do this in the shul, you're doing it in the beis din, wherever it is, so therefore it would be allowed if necessary. Again, most of these things aren't really applicable nowadays. We don't put cherims on the tzibur usually, and we normally don't have shuos. I did read the next words of the Ramah, which says, v'chein ein mashbi in odom beis din ad achiyom kippur. It brings down from the real that we don't have people swear in a beis din, and the Mishnah Berurah adds on in Sivkot and Tes, v'al kopanim mitzvah lishbot lo tzi gezele mitachas yado. Nevertheless, we want to have judgments. We don't say close the courts during this period of time, because if there's an error, and somebody has gezele in their possession, we want to get it out of their possession, okiyesh din lamata and din lamala, because if we take care of these things in our beis din, then they can, so to say, take it off the agenda, off the docket in the beis din shel shamayim, and it's less of a kitrug against the Jewish people. The issue footnote number 8 brings down that we don't try to call somebody to din if they're not in the city. We try not to adjudicate their din, to call them in, to come in during the month of Tishrei. Then the Ramah concludes this beautiful Simon Tov Reish Beis with the words, Ein Mekachin Elavana on Matzah Yom Kippur. We don't do Kiddush Levana until after Yom Kippur. Normally do Kiddush Levana, according to many, within the first 72 hours, you're not supposed to do it. But after the 72 hours from the Molad, then you can start doing Kiddush Levana. Many have the custom to wait till Matzah Shabbos. But here, even if it's Matzah Shabbos and it's after the first 72 hours, and even it would be after 7 days, those who wait 7 days, we had the minhag, the Ramah says, not to do Kiddush Levana until after Yom Kippur is over. V'Shabbos, Shabbain Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Minhag Lomar, Bo Tzut, Katzut, Tzedek, Tzutz. We go say this kapitel, which we discussed recently in another shiur, so the words Tzidkoscha and Ashkenazim and Sfardim switch around the orders of the three psukim, but both the first and the third start with the tzadi. So whether you say it like the Ashkenazim or the Sfardim, you're going to have it in the correct order. Tzutz, that's why it's referred to in this way. Tzidkoscha, Vitzidkoscha, and Tzidkoscha. So that's why it's called Tzutz, and we say this on the Shabbos of Shabbos Shuvah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Yud says, why don't we have the minhag to say Kiddush Levana until after Yom Kippur? We say it the night of Matzah Yom Kippur if it's available. So then he brings down the Kiddush Levon Yosetov Shu Mevusam Uvesimcha. You should say this ideally when you are very, very happy and in a very good mood. And he brings down in the Shaar Tzion Ozvav, this is the Vilna Gaon's opinion, which we'll talk about more in a moment. Ube Medrash Isa, however, it's brought down the Medrash of Matzah Yom Kippur and Basko Yotzis Vomeris Lechacho Besimcha Gomer. That the Medrash tells us that now we're Besimcha because in Shemayim they rain out and they say that it is a time for the Jewish people to go home and eat Besimcha. I've accepted your tefillos. However, the Mishnah Berurah himself says, Avodah, the Kamach Ronim, led by the Vilna Gaon and others, the Lavush, the base mayor, they all say, Hiskimu Shiyosetov L'kayim HaMitzvah Mikodem. You should say Kiddush Levon as soon as you can. Kiddush HaMitzvah Zu Yachriyeh L'kav Sos. Why not get another mitzvah underneath your belt? Now, let's understand this a little bit better by looking first in Dershu footnote number 9. And he says, the reason why we don't say it before Yom Kippur because you're not Shuryim B'Simcha, you're not very, very happy because you're worried about Emas HaDin. The issue foot number 10 brings down that the Vilna Gaon said, Badavka, and others as well, said to say it as early as you can, so you should have this additional zchus under your belt. And that's what the Bir Halacha brings down. Shekivin Shebaseres Mitruva Tluiv, Omen the Bedin, you're hanging in abeyance over here, what will happen to you? So get another zchus under you. He brings down, why is the Ramah not concerned about this? So the Lavush says, Shekivin Shemamtinin L'chovet HaMitzvah, why are you waiting? You're waiting to do this besimcha and in great happiness, so that's also a mitzvah. And therefore, that's the zechus that you have instead of doing the Kiddush Levana. What about doing other things that are often done after Yom Kippur? Should you do them before Yom Kippur? For example, buying the Dalet Minim. So the Matei Ephraim says, yeah, that's another zechus to have. Go buy the Dalet Minim beforehand. What about building the sukkah? So some say, Bedavki, you should start building the sukkah after Yom Kippur is over. Others say, no, you should begin to build it as soon as you can in order to have another zechus under your belt. The issue foot number 9 has a couple of additional other statements. He says, should you go and eat before Kiddush Levana? Normally, you're not supposed to do Kiddush Levana when you're fasting. So he says that even though in other taniyos you go and wait to eat before you do Kiddush Levana, he says, on your Matzah Yom Kippur, you don't have to because you're so happy, so that takes away any angst that you may have from fasting. However, if he says, if you feel weak because you've been fasting, then you should really eat beforehand and then go Kiddush Levana. And the Matzah Ephraim says, even if this will cause you not to be able to say Kiddush Levana with a minion, because everybody else is saying it now, you're going to go home and eat. You come back, nobody else is there. He says, this trumps the fact that you should not do it on an empty stomach if it's going to make you weak. So that is a reason to go home and eat and then do Kiddush Levana by yourself, even without a minion, rather than doing it while you're weak and with the minion. He says, what about not wearing shoes? He says, on Tisha B'Av, it's a real problem that you're not wearing shoes. But he says, in Yom Kippur, it's not such a problem. However, the Steichem, it says, no, it is a problem. And he says, you really should put on real shoes rather than going around barefoot or in your non-leather footwear. But here he brings down from Rav Dublitsky's Zatzal that if it's going to cause you to lose a minion because you have to go home and get on your leather shoes, so then here, if you're wearing other shoes that are, let's say, sneakers, so then you could do Kiddush Levana with your sneakers and not lose out on the minion aspect to go specifically put on leather shoes. The issue footnote number 11 brings down that it was the Vilna Gaon's custom, as well as he brings down the Chazon Ish and the Stipler Gaon and Rav Shlomo Zalman's Zatzal, all these great Gedolim. They did Kiddush Levana as soon as they could. They didn't wait till Matzah Yom Kippur. And he brings out from the Aruch HaShulchan, certainly if you're living in a country where it's a high likelihood that it's cloudy, and if you start doing Kiddush Levana already from the 11th, Matzah Yom Kippur is already Yud, and you only have maybe until Tezvav in most places to say Kiddush Levana, then you certainly should go and do Kiddush Levana earlier if you're concerned that it will be cloudy. Certainly today when we have weather forecasts, and you can see, let's say the few days before Yom Kippur, that it's supposed to be very cloudy the following week, or you live in a place where it's always very cloudy, so then you should do Kiddush Levana beforehand. On the other hand, he brings down for Lord Yashiv Zatzal, Shaminog B'Yerushalayim is always to wait, and he says in the yeshivas in Europe, the minog was as well to wait, not to follow the minog of the Gaon. I dare say many shuls follow this opinion that they wait bedavka until Matzah Yom Kippur and not follow the minog of the Gaon. Each shul should do what its minog is. Again, as we brought down, the Ramah says the waiting for till Matzah Yom Kippur to do it is also a mitzvah, so it's not like the Gaon's Shita is so clear and evident that why not get the extra zechus underneath your belt? The Ramah says there's a zechus in waiting as well. Finally, the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Yud Aleph, he says, "V'noagin she'ein na'ar omer haftorah shuv Yisrael." When you're talking about Shabbos Shuvah a little bit, so he says that the minhag is not to give a young child the haftorah on Shabbos Shuvah, and the issue footnote number 12 brings down from the Matei Ephraim that the minhag was specifically to call up the rabbi or another mechashev to get this haftorah, and the issue footnote number 13 brings down that since this haftorah ends with uposhim yikosh lubam, so we add on additional words, so we end off on a positive note. And with this we conclude Simen Tov Reish Beis, and we start Tov Reish Gimel, also a very short Simen, which deals with the halachos of certain chumras in the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And the Mechaber says, Af mish eno nizor mipashal akum, even somebody that is not careful about eating pasta that is made by an akum. Now what is this talking about? we're talking about clearly it's kosher. Nobody, chas v'shalom, is ever going to say you can eat something that's not kosher. But there were minhagim that to have bakery breads, publicly company-owned breads that were owned by goyim, so you technically are allowed to eat them. You have hashgacha on them, you have an OU on them, you have 100% kosher. It's an opportunity for me to thank the OU for allowing me to use their forum on OU Torah to give all of the shiurim. So the OU will give a hashgacha, 100% kosher, on paspalta, what's known as a factory-produced bakery bread that's not made in a private non-Jewish person's house. So there is a din that you're allowed to eat this. However, many have the chumrah that they do not eat this, even though there's no concern of chasnos that you may come to assimilate and marry the goyim, which is the reason why you don't eat kosher bread that's made by your private next-door neighbor. Even if you're watching it, it's 100% kosher, you don't eat his bread, because then you're going to sit down with him to eat. And Nebuch, you could end up marrying his daughter, or vice versa. They could marry your daughter. And therefore, because of chasnos, the potential for assimilation, we don't allow this normally. But paspalter, you're technically allowed to eat. It's 100% kosher. You have hashgach on it. And there's no chance that you're going to go and marry Mr. Arnold's daughter because you're eating Arnold bread. So therefore, technically, even though you may not be nizor in it all year long, he says, "Vaseris mei tshuva tzorich lizor." One should be careful about pas akum, pas palter, during the aseris mei tshuva. The Mishnah brings down the sivkot and aleph. Haynu afilu mi pas palter shugai. This is talking about, as I just said, the factory bread of a non-Jewish person. The issue footnote 1 brings down that this halach is not only for aseris mei tshuva. The same halach applies to every Shabbos and Yontif. You should try very hard not to have pas palter on Shabbos and Yontif. It's a covered for Shabbos and Yontif to have pas yisrael. Then he brings out from the Chayyadim that this isn't the only chumrah. Many people have many additional chumras that they take upon themselves during the Aseres Mei Tshuva. He says this is a wonderful thing to be misori yourself, to do tshuva. And even in things that are perfectly mutter, he says the person should sometimes take upon himself additional things to spur himself to do tshuva. Now, if it's something that is absolutely a minhag not to eat it, so then you don't have to continue doing this after the Aseres Mei Tshuva. Then you can just do it just for the Aseres Mei Tshuva. But there are opinions, differing opinions, that if it's something that has a little bit of a chashash of Isser in it, and what we paskin to be mekel, so then he brings down from the Aruch HaShulchan that one shouldn't just do this for the Aseres Mei Tshuva. Don't do it for the Aseres Mei Tshuva, and don't do it all year long, because once you accept it upon yourself, this chumrah, which is based in din, so then you have to do it all the time. On the other hand, he brings down from the Aleph HaMagi, no, it's Adarabba, it's a very good thing to take upon yourself something that has a chashash of Isser in it, to just do it even for the Aseres Mei Tshuva, even though you're not going to continue doing it the rest of the year. The issue foot number 2, I already said outside. I enshrump for the details again. And the issue foot number 3 discusses, from Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, what about eating the bread of a Jewish person who's not from? So he brings down that the Chazinish was makel on this. Of course, it has hashkocha. And again, we're never talking here about that it's not kosher, but he says there are those that were machmir in this situation, to treat it like it was Bishulei Nochrim. By Bishul, we're more machmir, but by Afiyah, by baking, he was makel. Mishnah Berurah continues and says, "V'meinu yochel lefus b'atzmo, if you can't go bake for yourself, and your only choice is to have this other bread, yachshu esatana, you should at least kasha the oven yourself, shofin bo'akim, that the goy is going and baking the bread in, sheyash yisrael b'sochatana, kesamecho, that you should start the Bishul over here, start the Afiyah, v'afilu nofach edei mafuach o befiv, Mahani, and even if you're just blowing on it with some sort of a bellows or just with your mouth to spur the fire, so to say, that would be adequate as well. If the halachos there apply. If somebody's going on the road, which all year long is a heter for paspalter, if you'd have to travel more than 4 mil. And Dershah foot number 4 reminds us of these dinam of traveling forward 4 mil and traveling backwards 1 mil. Mimokim shu omebo, from where you are, the road's lechel, and you're hungry, you want to eat, so mutal lo lechel paspaltu shlakum all year long. So then, be'aser smei tshuva, kemosh mutu b'shayi mos hashana, is the same din applying. Kemosh chaz b'yoridei hasham, as the din in Yoridei is brought down, dolo kabilu alai lahachmi b'asar yamim, because the dinim in the Aseres Mei Tshuva are like the rest of the year. And the rest of the year, you don't have to be machmir in that situation. So even during Aseres Mei Tshuva, you don't have to be machmir, even though you've taken upon yourself this additional chumrah. And it's permissible. Then he adds, you should be careful not to go be machmir shalom with a bracha when you're taking it from a dough that was kneaded by a goy and then sold to the Yisrael. Even though he sold it afterwards to a yid, the kivan should be ace li shoy so shalakum, at the time of the kneading, it was kneaded by an akum, nifka mimena chiv chal. There is no chiv of chal in that situation. Eladavka shemachar akum, a chemical salt. The only time you have that you'd have to take off chal would be if you bought the flour from the non Jewish person, but you needed it, so then there would be a chiv of chal. We unfortunately won't be able to finish the siman today, so we'll leave the Ramah for tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shir.